The sun begins its daring ascent, behind peaks so formidable they resist the first light. Forcing dawn to fight its way over mountains that scrape the heavens. This extreme plateau claims an average of 13,000 hypoxic feet. With air so razor thin and bone-chilling cold, it's practically non-existent. And the valleys, well, they sit at altitudes that would be summits elsewhere. Nothing here is gentle. Altitude is the first law of this land, known as Tibet. And then there's the second law, water. Over a quarter of Earth's non-polar ice lives here, feeding 10 of Asia's great rivers and sustaining almost half of the entire continent. More than 1,500 lakes lie scattered. While to the east, the Yarlung Tsangpo carves a chasm deeper than any canyon on Earth. The land here feels older than the mountains themselves. Except above all of Tibet's dangers, heights and extremes, stands a single unsettling peak, Mount Kailash. Perfect in symmetry, yet never dared to be climbed. But instead, it's circled for forgiveness and rebirth. Kailash is not just sacred, it is a cinematic mystery, so charged with meaning that even approaching it feels like stepping towards something forbidden. But even Kailash is just the first silhouette in this vast, ruthless wilderness, filled with places that disregard explanation and some that refuse to be found. 50 million years ago, the Indian subcontinent collided with Eurasia at a speed of nearly 5 inches per year, forcing rock upward into what would become the Himalayas. The impact lifted an entire landmass, creating the Tibetan Plateau, the largest highland in the world. Today, it covers almost 1 million square miles and contains more than a quarter of Earth's ice outside the poles, earning its name as the Third Pole. This uplift changed the planet's climate. By rising into the jet stream, Tibet altered wind patterns and locked in the Asian monsoon. Snow and glaciers here form reservoirs that feed 10 of Asia's greatest rivers, supplying water to nearly 2 billion people downstream. The Chamo region in eastern Tibet is where three of Asia's greatest rivers begin their descent: the Mekong, the Salween and the Yangtze. For more than 200 miles, they run almost side by side through mountain gorges, a phenomenon found nowhere else on Earth. It is here that Tibet's geography feels most compressed. Giant rivers, narrow passes, and settlements shaped by isolation. This region also forms the historic territory of Kham, home to its own language, cultural identity, and a distinctive style of monasteries with tall prayer halls and fortress-like designs. Kham was long seen as a frontier, both connected to and apart from the Central Plateau. Its mountains and rivers created natural corridors, and those corridors became the arteries of trade that carried goods and ideas into Tibet. For centuries, the most important of these routes was the Tea Horse Road. Beginning in the forests of Yunnan, caravans hauled compressed bricks of pu'er tea northward into Tibet. In return, hardy Tibetan ponies were taken south to supply Chinese cavalry. The route stretched for over 1,400 miles, climbing passes above 15,000 feet, and took months to cross. But today, another route dominates the same region, National Highway 318. Extending 3,400 miles from Shanghai to the Nepal border, it is one of China's longest and most iconic roads. Its Tibetan section is known as the Road to Heaven, crossing more than a dozen passes above 14,000 feet. Along its length, the landscape reveals itself like a litany of extremes. Snowy peaks rising behind valleys threaded with prayer flags, rivers fed by glaciers, and stretches of tarmac making the horizon appear endless. Yet devotion here is not only measured in distance. On the banks of the Lankang River near Markham lie terraces of salt pans carved directly into the red cliffs. Believed to date back more than 1,300 years, they cover the slopes in geometric layers of pink and white. Each pan is worked by hand, and ownership is passed down within families as a spiritual inheritance. Before each season, households perform rituals and prayers at the hot spring that feeds the pans, acknowledging that the work is as much karmic duty as livelihood. From salt terraces, the road turns toward one of its most dangerous stretches, the 72 turns. Over a descent of more than 3,000 feet, the highway coils through 72 hairpin bends carved into a near vertical cliff. Mist rolls across the asphalt, and guardrails are absent in many places. Along these roadsides, another form of devotion is visible in stone. Mani stones, flat slabs carved with Buddhist prayers, are placed in long walls or stacked at bends, marking the path with thousands of etched mantras. Each inscription is believed to release its prayer into the world, blessing those who pass. High above them, in the thermals rising from the valley floors, golden eagles circle on wide wingspans that can exceed 7 feet. Ecologically, they are apex hunters of the plateau, striking hares, marmots, and even young livestock with talons that can grip with a force of over 400 pounds per square inch. To Tibetans, these birds are protectors and messengers, linking the earthbound traveler to the unseen forces of the sky. The eastern gateways into Tibet are not merely routes of commerce or asphalt. They are thresholds where rivers become corridors, labor becomes devotion, and the road itself turns into a form of prayer. Beyond them lies a land of increasing solitude, where monasteries cling to cliffs and silence becomes the measure of belief. There are places in Tibet where the land itself seems to withdraw, leaving only wind, silence, and sky. Settlements, thin until smoke from a single rooftop, becomes the only sign of life. Prayer flags snap in the emptiness, marking thresholds to something deeper. Beyond the main roads, the plateau feels less like a destination and more like the edge of the inhabited world. Silence encapsulates the town of Dingqing, set above 14,000 feet, making it feel like the edge of earthly habitation itself. With fewer than 1,000 residents, it is less a town than it is a frontier outpost, where barley fields thin into barren slopes and every direction leads higher into solitude. Just beyond Ding, the land erupts into the Red Mountains, cliffs stained by iron oxide and shaped into serrated ridges by wind erosion. Their jagged faces glow deep crimson under the sun, an effect that makes them appear almost aflame at dusk. High above these cliffs stands Zizhu Monastery, the highest monastery on Earth at nearly 16,400 feet. Built directly into the mountainside, it clings to sheer rock with no clear road in or out. The monastery's purpose is isolation, its remoteness, chosen deliberately to support retreat and deep meditation. Around these ridges, prayer flags whip against jagged peaks, carrying colors for the five elements: blue for sky, white for air, red for fire, and then green for water, and yellow for earth. They stretch across passes like bridges between the human and the divine. But now, the landscape suddenly breaks its pattern. Valleys suddenly plummet thousands of feet, clouds gather low, and rivers swell with the force of the untamed Indian monsoon. This is a corner of Tibet that feels almost out of place. Lush forests rising beneath Himalayan snow. This is a region Tibetans call Nyingchi. It lies thousands of feet lower than much of the plateau, and here, altitude creates a rare fusion. Subtropical forest growing beneath snow-capped Himalayan ridges. No other part of Tibet sustains such ecological overlap. Here, Rainfall from the Indian monsoon feeds valleys more vibrant than any elsewhere on the plateau. This rainfall carved one of Earth's most extraordinary features. The Yalung Changpo Grand Canyon. Stretching more than 300 miles, it plummets over 17,500 feet at its deepest point, nearly 2,500 feet deeper than the Grand Canyon in Arizona. Landslides are constant, reshaping slopes where alpine ridges collapse into subtropical ravines. At the canyon's Great Bend, the river swings in a full 180-degree arc around a single sentinel peak. One of the best vantage points lies at the Sajila Pass, where the road climbs above the forest line. From here, prayer flags spring across the ridges. For many Tibetans, this is not just a mountain, but a threshold between what is known and what lies beyond. In late March and April, Ningxi transforms again. Valleys that spend most of the year cloaked in mist and rain erupt into bloom as thousands of peach blossom trees flower at once. Their pink blossoms spread across fields at the base of snowy peaks, a combination so unlikely that it feels almost impossible. This short season is known as the Peach Blossom Festival, when families and pilgrims gather to witness renewal on the plateau. By the way, have you checked out the free Travpedia VIP link in this video's description? It's your gateway to travel deals and products for Globetrotters. No sign-up is required. Head on over to TravpediaVIP.com today and begin your journey for absolutely free. This is our gift to you for being a subscriber and supporting our content. Thank you kindly. Beyond the lush valleys, the land rises to the west, higher and harsher with every mile. Passes climb above a mind-boggling 16,000 feet, and horizons widen into an incomprehensible ocean of rock and screaming wind. This is Ali, a region often called the roof of the world. Its average elevation exceeds 14,700 feet, and the landscape feels stripped to its bones. The plateau here opens into barren plains swept by wind, where glaciers feed salt lakes and silence stretches across horizons with almost no interruption. Temperatures swing violently, below minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit in winter, above freezing only briefly in summer. Amid these deserts rises one of Tibet's strangest geological formations, the Jarda, Earth Forest. It is the largest eroded clay formation of its kind in the world. Jagged ridges, pinnacles and buttes stretch for miles, some standing over 130 feet high. From a distance, the formations resemble a ruined metropolis, streets of stone, towers like temples, palaces half swallowed by earth. Local legends say these shapes are the remnants of ancient palaces petrified by the gods. But even in this emptiness, movement survives. Herds of wild horses cross the high plains, their silhouettes vanishing into dust clouds raised by the wind. Known for their endurance, they thrive in conditions that appear impossible for grazing. To watch them run across the valley floor is to see vitality carved into the desert itself. The silence deepens at the ruins of the Guje Kingdom, hidden among the cliffs of the Earth Forest. Created in the 10th century, it became a powerful religious and cultural center, with its rulers commissioning temples and murals that blended Indian, Nepali, and Kashmiri influences. At its height, it oversaw trade routes stretching from Ladakh to western Tibet. Yet by the 17th century, the kingdom had collapsed. Some chronicles speak of invasion, others of betrayal from within. Tibet has long been a land of mysteries, valleys sealed by altitude, ruins swallowed by desert, and rivers that vanish into gorges deeper than the seafloor. Yet no feature carries more legend than what's next. At the center of Western Tibet stands Mount Kailash, which rises almost 22,000 feet in a peculiar, near-perfect symmetry. Unlike Everest or the other great Himalayan peaks, no expedition has ever reached its summit. Not because it cannot be climbed, but because it must not. Kailash is sacred across four religions: Tibetan Buddhism, Hinduism, Jainism, and the ancient Bon tradition, each seeing it as the axis of the universe, the point where the material and spiritual worlds converge. A lot of strange phenomena have been noted on the mountain, but that's for another video. Which reminds me, if you haven't done so already, please hit the like button and subscribe to our channel so you don't miss out on the next documentary. You will not want to miss it. From its slopes flow the headwaters of four of Asia's great rivers, the Indus, Sutlej, Brahmaputra, and Karnali, which later feeds into the Ganges. To pilgrims, this is no coincidence. The mountain is imagined as the cosmic axis, and its waters as veins spreading across half the colossal continent of Asia. The path around Kailash is one of the holiest pilgrimages in Asia. Known as the Kora, it encircles the mountain in a circuit of 32 miles. Completing it once is believed to erase the sins of a lifetime. But that's not all, though, because completing it 108 times is said to bring divine enlightenment itself. And that's why, at passes above 18,000 feet, where oxygen barely exists for humans, pilgrims walk with prayer wheels, chanting mantras into the wind. Just south of Kailash lies Lake Manasarovar, which covers nearly 200 square miles at an altitude of 15,000 feet. In Hindu belief, the god Brahma first imagined the lake in his mind before it came into being, giving it a reputation as the world's most sacred freshwater lake. Pilgrims walk its 40-plus mile shoreline, a journey that complements the Kailash Kora. Every year, during the full moon of Sagadawa, which celebrates the birth, enlightenment, and death of the Buddha, thousands of pilgrims gather at Manasarovar. In Tibetan belief, deities descend into the lake during this time, blessing its waters. Here, mountains, rivers, and sky combine into a single cosmology. Kailash anchors the heavens, Manasarovar mirrors eternity, and the path between them turns belief into action measured in steps, breaths, and endurance. From Kailash and Manasarovar, the land now expands into a wasteland of brutal silence. Winds howl with merciless force, tearing across horizons that feel endless and unreachable. The air is razor thin, each breath a violent struggle against emptiness. The sky strips bare with a relentless stillness as we head into the Changtang Plateau, one of the most remote regions on Earth. At elevations above 16,000 feet, it is a world of exposure. Endless plains scoured by wind. Temperatures falling below minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And oxygen levels that make it difficult to breathe. Yet even here, life endures. Nomads trace seasonal routes with yak hair tents, and herds of Tibetan antelope migrate across the snow plains in groups that once numbered in the tens of thousands. For Tibetans, these migrations are seen as a pulse of the land itself, a rhythm of survival against impossible odds. Amid this darkness lies Namtso, the heavenly lake. It is one of the world's highest saltwater lakes, shimmering against the horizon like a mirror laid flat on the sky. In Tibetan belief, it embodies the feminine element of water, balanced by the masculine strength of Mount Nyenshan Tangalha, the towering peak that rises above 23,000 feet on its southern shore. Each spring, during the festival of Sargadawa, pilgrims circle Namtso's 70-mile shoreline, seeking karmic cleansing in a journey that can take days in the thin air. Along the lake's edge stands the sacred Elephant Gate, a natural stone arch shaped like a trunk dipping into the water. Locals believe it is a portal between worlds, a place where prayers pass directly into the unseen. Deeper into Bangwin County, a solitary stone tower rises from barren ground, the Tree of Earth. Formed entirely by erosion, it resembles a leafless tree growing from the plateau. For Tibetans, it is more than chance geology. It is seen as the navel of the plateau, a natural mandala uniting earth, water, fire, and wind. North of here lies the Changtang No Man's Land, spanning a massive area that is larger than France. No permanent settlements exist. The interior is protected for its ecological fragility. Weather turns without warning. Sun, snow, hail, and storm in a single day. To enter is to face exposure with no shelter, no markers, and no certainty of return. Still, the land is not empty. Shadows slip across ridges nearby. But these are no shadows. They're the silent passing of the snow leopard. Rarely seen, it is considered the spirit of the mountains, a predator adapted to silence, moving unseen among cliffs and scree. For Tibetans, its presence is a reminder that some beings belong to this altitude in ways humans never can. Pardon the interruption, but we're giving away freebies to everyone watching. If you love exploring our beautiful planet, there's a revolutionary new AI-powered travel app you need to know about. And Travpedia viewers get a special free bonus just for tuning in today. It's called Trav Genius, your personal travel companion that helps you plan trips and get recommendations personalized to you from scratch, even when you don't know where to start. Already done your planning? Trav Genius also keeps everything organized in one place and manages your journey while you're on the move. You can even collaborate with friends and get smart, real-time tailored recommendations anywhere in the world. It's an absolute game changer, and we think you'll love it. The app is completely free to download. For a limited time, Travpedia viewers will get early access and a full month of the app's premium version, including powerful AI features, absolutely free. Head to travgeniusinsider.com right now before the insider preview registration window closes. It's completely free, and you will not want to miss it. Where the plateau softens into valleys, Tibet's agricultural heartlands emerge. The region of Shigatse, long known as the granary of Tibet, lies at altitudes near 12,000 feet. Barley is more than food here. It is identity, ground into Sampa flour that sustains life where few crops survive. At the center of Shigatse rises Tashilhunpo Monastery, founded in 1447 by the first Dalai Lama. It later became the seat of the Panchen Lama, second only to the Dalai Lama in Tibetan spiritual hierarchy. Within its walls stand chapels dedicated to successive incarnations, and its assembly halls can hold thousands of monks. Not far away, the fortress of Gyantse Dzong pierces through a rocky hill above the Nyang River Valley. In 1904, it became a symbol of resistance when local defenders, armed with little more than swords and muskets, faced the artillery of a British military expedition. The stone walls still bear the scars, fractured ramparts, scorched battlements, silent records of the confrontation. It's a symbol of Tibet's price paid for independence. At the foot of the fortress lies Pelkor Monastery, home to the Kumbum Stupa, Tibet's largest stupa. Rising through 9 tiers with 108 chapels, it's a walkable mandala in stone. Each level guides the pilgrim upward through layers of symbolic enlightenment, walls painted with deities, mandalas, and sacred narratives. Southward, the Yarlung Valley carries another layer of history. Often described as the cradle of Tibetan civilization, it holds royal tombs, cliff carvings, and the ruins of early palaces. Rising above the valley stands Yumbulagang Palace, said to be Tibet's first building. Tradition names it the seat of the first Tibetan king, Nyatri Tsenpo, a figure as much legend as history. Later, during the reign of Songtsen Gampo in the 7th century, Yumbulagang was transformed into a Buddhist temple, symbolizing the shift from kingship to spiritual devotion. In the shadow of peaks, sacred lakes continue to hold power. Yamdrok Lake has a shoreline of more than 440 miles and is one of Tibet's three holiest lakes. From the air, it resembles a scorpion, its turquoise arms curling through grasslands. Legend says the lake is a goddess who transformed into water, her vitality bound to Tibet's survival. Not too far is Siling Monastery, often called Tibet's Hanging Monastery. From a distance, its small halls appear to defy gravity, clinging to sheer rock high above the valley floor. The path is narrow, carved directly into the cliff, and every step demands focus. Eastward, Ganden Monastery crowns a ridge above 14,000 feet. Before reaching its golden roofs, the road climbs through dozens of switchbacks along bare ridges, wrapping the mountain like a thread. In the farmlands surrounding Shigatse and the Yalung Valley, another form of devotion appears each winter. Flocks of sheep are driven across frozen lakes in search of new grazing land. Herders guide them over ice where cracks split underfoot. A migration that blends necessity with ritual. These seasonal crossings are remembered as acts of endurance passed down through generations. The road westward rises once more, climbing into switchbacks known as the 108 Bends. Cut into the mountain like brushstrokes, they trace a dizzying path toward Gawala Pass, perched at more than 17,000 feet. The number itself is sacred. In Tibetan cosmology, 108 represents spiritual completion, reflected in prayer beads, mandalas and temple steps. At the summit of the pass, the horizon unfolds into one of the most dramatic panoramas on Earth, five of the world's tallest peaks standing shoulder to shoulder to shoulder: Makalu, Lhotse, Cho Oyu, Shishapangma, and at their center, Everest. The road continues to Rongbuk Base Camp. At about 17,000 feet, the oxygen content drops to barely half of sea level, and the air feels thin with every breath. Climbers treat Rongbuk as a staging ground, but for most travelers, It is the limit, a place where the immensity of Everest can be felt without needing to climb it. Just above the camp stands Rongbuk Monastery, the highest monastery in the world, where monks live and pray in the shadow of the mountain. From its courtyards, Everest fills the horizon, 29,032 feet of rock and ice, rising almost vertically from the plateau. Tibetans know her as Chomolungma, the goddess mother of the world. In this belief, Everest is not a peak to conquer, but a deity to be revered, a presence to stand before in awe. Beyond Everest, the land softens into the Tingri Valley, where fields of barley and potatoes spread across one of the highest farmed regions on Earth. The growing season is short, but with care, crops take root in the thin soil. Here, the yak becomes indispensable. These animals pull wooden plows across the frozen ground, carry supplies over high passes, and provide milk, butter, and wool. For centuries, life in Tingri has depended on them. Without the yak, there would be no farming, no caravans, and no survival at this altitude. Along village edges, Tibetan mastiffs stand at watch, immense dogs bred for protection against wolves. Another reminder of the partnership between people and animals in a land of exposure. From Tingri, the journey turns east toward Tibet's cultural heart. This is Lhasa, the city of the gods. For more than 1,000 years, it has remained the spiritual capital of the plateau, drawing pilgrims from across Tibet and beyond. In Lhasa's center stands the Barkor Circuit, a sacred path encircling the Yokang Temple. Here, pilgrims spin prayer wheels in unison, chant mantras under their breath, and press their foreheads against the temple's walls. It is considered the most sacred temple in Tibet. At its heart rests the Jowo Shakyamuni, a statue said to depict the Buddha at the age of 12, brought to Tibet by Princess Wencheng and believed to have been blessed by the Buddha himself. To see its golden gaze, even for a moment, is considered the culmination of a lifetime of prayer. Above the city, the Patala Palace dominates the skyline. Rising 13 stories with more than 1,000 rooms, it was built like a fortress of faith. The Red Palace holds scriptures, relics, and the gold-adorned stupas of past Dalai Lamas. The White Palace once served as the seat of government, where spiritual and temporal power converged under one roof. Enjoyed the documentary? Make sure you're subscribed and click this thumbnail to watch the next one that YouTube thinks you'll love just as much, or save it to watch later. See you soon.